Praise the Lord. Are we ready to move forward? Is somebody's life moving forward now? Hallelujah. Christianity is practical. Practical. There is time to hear and there is time to go and practice what you hear. There is time to hear and there is time to go and practice what you hear. We as Christians, we must prosper. I hate poverty. I hate it. With perfect hatred, I hate poverty. Amen. And especially those of us who preach the gospel. Our unbelieving friends think that it's frustration that is making us to preach. They think it's frustration that is making us to come to Christ. So, God must do something to let them know that it is not frustration. I believe that where you are doing your market, you should sell more than any other person around. How many people believe that? No, you see, if you don't believe, you will not walk towards it. That's what we mean, possessing your possession is enforcing what you believe. You must enforce what you believe. You see? And one thing I know about God is that God honors faith. I'm telling you. I have confirmed. When I preach everything I preach here, I preach what I believe. And why I believe it is because I have confirmed it. I am not a preacher that just repeats what I read in a book. After I read it, I will practice it. Why do I preach divine healing? I saw in the Bible, Mark 16, this sign shall follow them that believe. Amen. I've told you my testimony. I'm telling you that is the truth. Christianity is real. This Bible is like a chemistry book where it tells you jam this solution with this solution and it will produce this. When you go to the lab, carry that solution that book said. Jam it, you will see what will happen. If he said, don't put sulfuric acid on a wood, it will burn. That is theory. Confirm it. Carry it according to that book, sulfuric acid, and put it on wood. It will catch fire. Then you will know that waiting that chemistry book talk not true. So it is with this Bible. The problem with us is we are not ready to practice what this Bible says. Take God, hold God by His word. When you want to weaken God, weaken Him, that is, make Him change His mind. Make Him act fast for you. The faith that moves God is the faith that holds onto God's word. Where you can say, Father, your word say, amen. Your word say, though I understood it better, but even the little light you get to know, God will just, do something to confirm it. Because when he said, this sign shall follow them that believe. And among the things, he said, you will lay hand upon the sick shall recover. Now, the truth is, everybody cannot lay hand upon the sick and the sick shall recover. But if you read it on the surface, that is what it looks like. So, when I read it, I say, see all sick people all around me, inside prison yard. I say, hey, let me know whether this thing where they do serve. Since there is something to confirm whether I'm a believer or not. This sign shall follow them that believe. And I went. According to the, I was looking for sick people. According to the word of God, in Mark 16:16, this sign shall follow them that believe. They lay hand upon the sick shall recover. You are sick, say, I lay my hand on you. Everyone I prayed for received healing. So I went fanatical over it. So there is healing in the Bible. Now would they carry money, go spend for hospital drugs. So when I am sick, I will call believers. Oh, yeah, lay hand on me. Pray for me. And I used to think that believers should not go to the hospital. When you get born again newly, you get grace. Not this one, so trouble, make them run to Christ. So I'm talking about people. You had the testimony of Brother Maduka yesterday. When he saw something that struck him, you get crazy. Until he said he came and closed his shop, closed everywhere, closed. There are a lot of crazy things you do. I refuse to go to hospital. Just like one of the quotes that he read yesterday, William Branham was sick and he was believing God for healing in his early days as a Christian. And then he said that they say he will die. And the stomach infirmity, he suffered that stomach problem for so many years. I think another 40 years or so. 40 years. He lived with it. Somebody was praying for people that were receiving healing, but he had his own. 40 years. So one day, he said, certain things he dare not eat. If you eat, he will throw it out. You will nearly die. But he said, but the word of God has promised him healing. And he has seen that there is. People are receiving healing. And then, this time he said, he's not taking any drug. He's not going to hospital. Then he said, he decided to confess his healing. That's why he quoted the one, they say, Brother Abraham, Bill, you know, they call him Bill, his friends, those unbelievers. Bill, how do you feel now? You say, fine. He said, why do you say fine? He said, you're a Christian, you're lying. Look at you, you're in pain. He's confessing what the Bible said concerning him. He's not looking at the problem. He is looking at the word. That is where your faith comes from. Well, he made a statement. When it got so bad, he said he told God, if I die, and I meet you, you ask me, why did I die? He said, I would tell God. He said, I will tell you that I died because I was believing your word. Because I remember my own time, when I was almost dying and going. Everybody thought I would die and go. In fact, all manner of things were said. I was there. The last prayer I was able to pray was, Father, I have stood on your word, and everybody knows I am believing your word. They called me fanatical because of your word. If I die, then it will be known that it is not every word of God that God backs up. But I'm ready to die. Immediately I spoke that, I saw when the demon tormenting me just walked out. Strength. Somebody for 7 days had not eaten anything. Strength came. Hunger came. That was the day I knew that. So true, like William Branham said, behind every sickness there's a demon. When you are sick, go for prayer. Even though all the drugs you take will never work. My faith now increased. I am saying, giving you a testimony of how I confirm that aspect of the word. But concerning prosperity also, I preach prosperity confidently. Because I have confirmed that following biblical principles, you will never be poor until you get to a stage of reproach. You will never. Now, listen, church. Everybody cannot be a billionaire. Everybody cannot even be a millionaire. But every believer must be comfortable. It's compulsory. And there are principles. I'm telling you, there are principles that if you follow, heaven backs it up. God is not a magician, no. He is not a magician. He follows principles that he himself is even bound by those principles. So it's only normal. When I spoke about half-baked gospel on Sunday, I was talking about the totality of the gospel. The gospel, using the language that Brother Cosmos was using yesterday, he said it's a seven-course meal. When you go to the restaurant to eat, I think the maximum is three course. Maximum is three-course meal. Appetizer, the main meal, and then the dessert. Correct? You know, immediately you go, they start with appetizers to weigh your appetite. Then the main meal will come. Then when you finish, then they give you the dessert to tap it up, cap it up. Three. Amen. But God's own table, hallelujah, where the bread is served, is a seven-course meal. Okay, we'll come to that someday. But the emphasis is that those who preach prosperity, why we are against them, is they preach prosperity to the kind of way they preach, to the detriment of the soul. You don't balance it. And the approach is wrong. But let me tell you, there is prosperity in the Bible. There's prosperity, in the gospel. There is healing. There's deliverance. There's prosperity. And if you see yourself as a Christian, and you decided that, you know, you will, instead of using your brain for something more positive, you decide to use it negatively and go and be a beggar. Go here, beg here. Go here, beg here. Go here, beg here. Go here, beg here. It's wrong. We're living an underprivileged life like that. We should not be beggars. When the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive, it is a principle of life. Don't live a life of always receiving, 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 and nothing is going out. You'll be like Dead Sea that receives, nothing goes out. Be a giver rather than a receiver. In everything, be a giver. When I preached the message, I titled Total Wealth. I titled it Total Prosperity. Wealth is an estate of abundance of anything. You are wealthy when you have an abundance of everything. Of anything, You can be a wealthy farmer. Have large farm with large produce. You can be, you know, you are wealthy, financially very wealthy. But there are other areas of your life that you can be wealthy also. In terms of, for instance, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, anything that can your neighbor can benefit from that you have is a property, is a possession. So you can be full of joy. You can be full of joy. Whenever anybody comes around you, it's what you have you give. There are some people that are full of bitterness. When you go and meet them, by the time you will live with bitterness. Because what they have, they give you. Some people are full of joy. Some people are full of peace. When you come around them, what they have is what they will give you. Some people have a lot of money. Praise the Lord. When you come around them, you give them, that is what they will get from you. But be a giver of what you have. And the one principle that the Lord Jesus Christ left there that we misunderstand, a lot of us, is that Luke chapter 6. Can we open it? Verse 38. And I want us to read it together. Luke chapter 6. Verse 38. Can we go now? Everybody, let's go. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met with all, it shall be measured to you again. Read verse 30. See the way he put it. Luke 6:30. He said what? Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. That scripture needs explanation. Give to every man that asketh of thee. He said, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. I'm not telling you that somebody come and for one night you carry your property, they go. He said, you know, go after them. Go after him with SSS, police, mobile, everyone, plus even immigration self. So that he doesn't cross the border. That's not what that scripture means. Give to every man that asketh. You are not even to, the Bible even said, don't even postpone it to tomorrow when it is within thy power to help. Now, don't say come back tomorrow. Give to every man, everyone that asketh, that is if you are in position. And somebody is in need that you have, he said give. Now, there are two types of giving. There is giving, you know, to help somebody, you just give him, you don't expect him to return it to you. But there are people that come to you as Christians. I have explained this here several times before. I mean Christian brother, brethren. We are referring to brethren. That scripture is referring to brethren. Now, a brother sometimes comes to you and says, please borrow me so thing. And I'll give you back so day. And the person is not able to pay back when it is time for him to do that. Now listen, he is saying, don't go disturbing that person. Don't go disturbing that person. Sometimes, because everyone that gives receives. Sometimes somebody wants to come and ask you for money. The truth is he has a need and he has no other way of getting that money. He knows you have it and asks you, please, brother, can you help me with 10,000 naira? Brother, which day you go give me? 1 month, within 1 month, I should be able to give you that money. 1 month time, he doesn't have the money. Praise the Lord. Now listen, when I'm telling you something, this one, they don't write it for any book. It's between me and God. It's God that was telling me all these things. When that man, the brother, his sister, collects that 10,000, from you. 1 month time is not able to pay. Now, then you are there. See the reason why? I know they help brothers. You come here now, you say 10,000. And blah, 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 blah. But let me tell you this. And before you know what, you even stop the person from coming to church because he's afraid of meeting you in the church. But let me tell you this thing. Be very sincere with yourself because it is a principle. When you meet that person who was seriously in need that you gave that money to, watch within that 1 month that man promised to pay you. Watch. Think very well. Money has come to you well above that 10,000 you gave that guy that you did not work for. Somehow you will just receive some money like that. Now we are not sensitive enough to know when that one is unable to pay to remember that. But I gave him 10,000 and I didn't lose now. If I didn't receive any more money at all, and that is what I was hoping on, then it's even a different thing. But as a principle, you will discover within that period, that money you gave him, God has paid you back. But we are always not sensitive enough to see how God works. So before you know what, you are pursuing this person despite the fact that his God has paid you already. I'm telling you what I've experienced. When somebody did that to me, and I would say, I discovered that he stopped coming to church in my former church. And then I say, maybe it's because of this money that this boy or this man, an elderly man then, stopped coming to church, not knowing. I had to go to his house. You see, because of the money I gave him, you're unable to pay. That's why he stopped coming to church. I begged him that please come back to church. Please come back to church. Okay, I'm forgiving you the money. Don't pay. He looked and said, Brother Moses. I said, don't pay. It was when I came back home that day that the Lord began to speak to me. Now, do you know the money you gave him, I have returned it to you. From that day, I learned that. Don't do that. So he said that you should not go and take it again. Don't pursue them. But he said, for everyone that asketh of thee, he said, give to everyone that ask. Give to everyone that ask. Now, such teachings, I'm not too always comfortable with it because while you are talking to the true seed of God, there are also 419 that are hearing you. You see? So it's very, very difficult to teach prosperity in its sincerity in an assembly like this. Very, very difficult. I'm coming out now trying to make you to be givers. And some people, instead of being givers, they will position themselves to be the receivers. No matter how I am saying it, somebody else will be positioning himself to be, you know, to be receiver. You want to be the hey, after you say hey, think you hear what him pastor talk. More than the hey people will get problem, brother. Since yesterday I never chop. And then when the brother say I don't have money, he say upon all the things pastor teach today. You are to be the giver, not to be the receiver. Can I see givers here? Who want to be a giver? You are the one that will be blessed. See, Babi Allah spirit, begging spirit is a curse. Every Babi Allah spirit here, I break that curse in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a curse. It's no pride. I'm not saying if you're in need, you should not ask. But the proper person, by the time you have to go and beg, look, it's so torturous to you. By the time you reduce you to going to beg, a proper person, you even go and, you know, you are cursing yourself. Why this condition change? You don't know what it means. Some people hate disappointment. When you go now, and then you face disappointment, you go with shame. Say, so you see now, I don't lower myself to this one now. Even to get, you don't even get her. I don't go tell her all my problem at the end. You don't even help. Because you have to tell him everything now that reduce you to the reason why you are coming to beg. Then you tell her all, how all this one hang here, how this one, all this one, thing you should not know. You have to tell him to make him believe you. At the end, she will not give you. So wait a minute, this is why I go tell this all this story now. It's not a good condition at all. At all. Praise the Lord. And anything you hate, it will not come near you. Anything you hate, you will avoid it. How many people hate poverty? It will not come near you in the name of Jesus. You will not go near it in the name of Jesus. There's something about the spirit man. Okay, let me finish that scripture. Now he said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Good measure. Press down. Shake it together. So that there will be no space. Fusote running over. Shall men give into your bosom. Anything you give out, it will return to you in good measure. And it's not the person you give that will return it to you. If you give it to man, man will return it to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, I keep dogs in my house. So I know a little bit of character of dogs. All these people who eat dogs, when a dog sees you, amen. So when you come to my house and a dog is wanting to attack you, you know, fighting, I will say, brother, you eat dog. Praise the Lord. But there are some people that will come and the dog will wangle and wangle and wangle and wangle. Yes, because you eat dog. So anywhere a dog will see you, no dog will be your friend. No, it's true. Anything you give out, if you are not a giver, you will not be a receiver. In that area, that thing that you give out will be pursuing you. That thing that you give out, anywhere you go, that thing will be following. If people meet you, and you are in the habit of hurting people, you know, there are people that specialize in that. When they see you happy, they are not happy. When they make this one laugh like that self. Since they laugh, they jump. Wait till they make them laugh. When you are happy, they are angry. There are people that have that. And they are carrying Bible, though. When you are dancing and worshiping God, they say, wait till now. Why in the jump like that? They jump. How does it affect you? You should be happy when somebody else is happy. Should be happy when somebody else is happy. Praise God. So learn to give. You will never lack. You will never lack. Never lack. I have practiced it, that's why I'm telling you. When I give my own testimony, you see funny text messages. Somebody once sent me a text after a program like this, that after I spoke, I gave a lot of testimony. And he said, Pastor, try me too, I am also a fertile ground. He said, try me too, I'm also a fertile ground. So, did that person understand my teaching? I'm telling you to practice something. You are thinking I'm advertising myself as a place where if you have any need, you come and meet me. That's why some testimonies we cannot even give. When somebody come and give testimony here, oh, praise the Lord. How the bank, my customer, they were owing me 120 million naira. I pray. There was prophecy, I went. Bam, they gave me even 130, instead of 120. Praise God. I said, go finish. Come and see the people who go follow up. plus those who will come and enter spirit to see vision for the person. The enemy is coming after you. We need to go to the camp for you. We need to come to your house and bless you. We need to, all those funny. And it is nothing but, you know, when we are Christians, we are like students in a classroom. We are here, we are learning things. Whereas, in a class there, when some are there and learning, some will refuse to learn. But years to come, you will see the difference. Now my classmate be that, or now my classmate be that. My classmate na him be MD here, my classmate na him be minister, my classmate na him be this, my class. You uncle, where are you? It's true now. You uncle, where are you? Praise the Lord. Jerry, one of my classmates came, is it last week? The way I spoke to him, a brother said, you are rough on that guy, you. I said, I had to be rough on him. It was my classmate, and he came here to see me, and he came drunk. Beer, they smell everywhere for him out. I'm his classmate. Don't mention my name. They mention his name, and I said, this man is here, come. And he came. I said, that's why you're drunk. You are coming to me. Didn't you know I'm a pastor? You drink to come and see a pastor. I was very rough on him. He wanted me to give him money. I refused. So that he go and drink again. Did he learn anything in school? Nothing. Nothing. Now, I have my mate here. You call, where are you? Nobody, the same school now go, the same class, the same teachers. The same thing that we are teaching people here. People are trying to grasp a principle. Some are sitting down. And then their thought is going another direction. Don't be a beggar, be a giver. And when somebody comes to you to dash you something that you didn't go to ask for, don't face it, be proud. Say, no. That's not what I mean. Favor must come to you whether you ask or not. But don't specialize in going to beg. I don't know how to say it to knock that off. I practice it. I am telling you. I practice it. Anyone that asks, give. I am a giver because that is the only way to survive. I have since known it. He who gives will never lack. Don't know how to teach that one because it is practical. He who gives will never lack. And there are fertile grounds and there are infertile grounds. There are some giving you give that you waste it. I'm summarizing this thing because I've taken these teachings in details before. There are some giving you give. When this church started newly, we were just few of us there. But there were a lot of needy people. That time, all the offerings we collect is to settle the people's problems. In fact, at the end of the day, to the last couple is given out. Then, so poor people are there. Then one day, a brother brought a bag of rice, two bags of rice to my house. Oh, thank you very much, thank you very much. Then I noticed a particular somebody that needed just some small money from him. I forgot how much or so. Whether it was even like transport money. I refused to give him. Then, I was worried. And I had to call the brother. I said, you brought two bags of rice to my house. I said, you know, and as at that time, I was the one sponsoring the church. I was a contractor with the PTF. Those of you who know PTF, were those that chopped their money that time. And so you know I am on, but you still bought 2 bags of rice for me. Then somebody else, needing just small money transport with the family to go, you walked away and walked away. So the question is, did you give me that rice because you felt I needed it, or is something else you are looking for from me? Did you give it because you felt I needed it? If you have a spirit of blessing the needy, then opportunity had come. See a needy brother around you, refuse. Then somebody who already has, you are going to give more to that person. I say, you, if it is a seed, you claim that to be a seed, you have wasted it. I told the brother face to face. So you wasted it, except it's something else you are looking for from me. And the truth was, he was looking for an appointment in the church from me. He wanted to get close to me. But I'm not that type of Christian. You don't bribe me to get what you want. Praise the Lord. You don't do eye service around me. More than that. There's nobody that does eye service around me that succeeds. I place you where you belong. Praise the Lord. So, somebody already has. The Bible speaks against you going to bless a rich man. Amen. The type of thing you give a rich man is different. You don't give him what he already has. You are wasting it. Go to the poor, the needy brethren around you. As much as, you know, lied within you. He said, do good to all men. Then he added, especially them of the household of faith. Christians. Them of the household of faith. Because when you bless a Christian that is in need, you are blessing Christ. He said, he that giveth to the poor, lendeth unto the Lord, and he will surely pay you back. Praise God. Practice it. Some fertile ground, according to the scripture. I've mentioned it. A child of God, a believer like you. Number 2, a minister of God. When I say a minister of God, you should have some measure of discernment to know who is a minister and who is not a minister. Because these days, everybody has picked Bible and say, God, call me. No true minister of God will come and meet you and beg you for anything. No true minister of God, no true minister, I repeat. A true minister of God, when he is in need, he will go to him who call him. Who call you is God. If I have a need, I kneel down and tell God, Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this. He knows who he will touch to come and minister to you. That's a principle most of us who are ministers don't even know.